Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Sanctuary, the safe place that you need to help you in all of your fantasy endeavors. We're covering Dynasty, Redraft, Best Ball, and of course some DFS as well. I'm joined by the one and only Tom Strachan, and today we're going to walk through every single one of this week's matchups, covering all the important news, all the injury updates, who should be starting your lineups, who you should be targeting in DFS, and of course, some little dynasty nuggets just along the way to wet that whistle. Tom, we're going to dive straight in. It feels like, I don't know if you agree, this is an absolute horror slate for DFS. I was saying earlier, I think there's one game above 45 over under. There's about four that are under 40. The one gem of a matchup, we have got the Chargers at the Chiefs. Are you kind of throwing all your eggs in this basket, or do you think that's going to be too chalky?
I think that'll definitely be a little on the chalky side, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's the wrong approach. It's just like, if you're talking from a purely DFS point of view, it's going, okay, well, everybody's going to want to stack Justin Herbert with Keenan Allen. Everyone's going to want to stack Patrick Mahomes with Travis Kelce. What can I do to be different? And I think when you look at this game, it's hard to ignore the two defenses. The Chiefs defense has played far better than we expected. The Chargers defense has played far worse than anyone expected, really. Like, the Chargers have given up 220 receiving yards per game just to wide receivers alone, never mind the rest of the offense. So it's very easy to say, okay, well, if we're going to add Keenan Allen in there, then we probably want to be adding Josh Palmer at 4,800 in there. I think when you talk about the Chiefs side of it, they've been playing better than expected, but Keenan Allen is absolutely balling. He's the wide receiver 2 in points per game right now. And often we see Austin Ekeler perform even better when one of Keenan Allen or Mike Williams is out of the lineup. Quentin Johnston is an absolute non-factor, I think, in redraft. If you haven't dropped him already, you can. He's gone 6-44 across 5 games, which is just awful for a player drafted that high. Like, we really expected slightly more from him, particularly when Mike Williams went down. And as much as the Chiefs' defense, I'm talking them up, they have allowed the top 5 catch rate to opposing wide receivers. So there is some reason to believe that perhaps his Chargers offense could just be the best they've faced so far and really put them to the test. So yeah, I like pretty much anyone who would want to start in this, I'm probably fine with. I think Rashi Rice at 4,700 is also very interesting. I wrote him up in the DFS column on our Discord this week. And I think that if you're looking for a Chiefs heavy stack, then you can definitely go that way. Or you could even put Pacheco in there. I don't think that many people or enough people stack a running back with a quarterback and a tight end. So yeah, plenty of ways to attack what should hopefully be a fun game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you mentioned the interesting nugget I want to touch on there, Rashi Rice. I feel like I've been talking it into existence the last 3-4 weeks. The snap shares is increasing slightly. He seems to be the only receiver in Kansas City that's going to be fantasy relevant. Do you think this is potentially finally Rashi Rice week? Are we going to see him get above that 50% snap share and into a truly fantasy relevant role?
I think so. I mean, it's trending that way. Rashi Rice leads the team with 2.8 yards per route run. He's second only to Travis Kelce in receiving yards, receptions, and even touchdowns. I think he's tied with Kadarius Toney in it. It seems like the Chiefs know that Rashi Rice is the most complete wide receiver on their roster. And that isn't necessarily paying a huge compliment, but it's noteworthy, particularly when we've seen so many rookies struggle to succeed under Andy Reid. So I don't think he's suddenly going to regress in terms of how much he's playing. I think he'll be fine. And yeah, I'll be starting Rashi Rice in DFS plenty of weeks going forward.
Yeah, I'm very excited about him. I think he's got some fantastic ability, both, you know, as a route runner. I think he's far more polished than I was expecting coming out, you know, coming from a very limited route tree and definitely looks explosive after the catch. You touched on Quinton Johnson there. From a dynasty perspective, I talked about it in the week. I'm now out. I'm selling for whatever I can get. I think I'd probably take a mid-second right now. I think the track record, I shared it on Twitter a few days ago, the track record of players who basically never show up in the first 6 games as a first-round pick and go on to fantasy relevancy is almost non-existent. So the fact that we've seen the Mike Williams injury, the fact that he still can't carve out a target share, a fantasy relevant role, I've got very little hope for him moving forward, so I'm very happy to pivot off that. The next matchup, Detroit at Baltimore. We've got a question in the chat from the very own Mags, Dynasty Hot Seat. If you are watching and you want to get your questions answered, we answer 100% of questions that we get, whether it's live, whether it's after. But Mags, maybe the biggest question of this matchup, how much do you trust Gibbs as your starting running back right now, Tom?
So the last time that Jahmyr Gibbs had a good run out was the game that David Montgomery missed, and he went 18 for 82. That's 18 total touches for 82 yards, which, you know, that's less than 10 PPR points. It's clear that he isn't quite developed enough as a running back to really count on him for a heavy workload. But the Lions running back room is so beaten up right now. I believe Craig Reynolds is dealing with an injury. David Montgomery is going to miss for at least a couple of weeks, which is really disappointing for a player who was fun for possibly the first time in his career. So I think you can start Jahmyr Gibbs. I think, aside from that, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta are layups. The Ravens have been excellent against tight ends so far this season. I think they're top three in terms of fewest fantasy points allowed to the position. But Sam Laporta is doing things that not many tight ends are doing in the league, and the way the Lions are using him is excellent, so I wouldn't worry about that. It was kind of noteworthy last week with Jameson Williams. He ran only 19% of routes compared to 43% the previous week. That touchdown, the long bomb, which kind of was a bit of a weird play, kind of bailed him out a little bit. But yeah, I think for me, as a Ravens fan, I'm very interested to see how the Ravens attack the Lions this week, because the Lions are the league's number four pass funnel according to fantasy points. What that means in simple terms is they're good against the run, but they're not as good against the pass. We've seen Lamar Jackson looking excellent at times. We've seen him looking average at times so far this season. It still feels like we need Rashad Bateman and Odell Beckham to really step up. But Mark Andrews is tight end two. Zay Flowers is the wide receiver 26. He's the rookie wide receiver two in virtually all categories, only behind Puka Nacua. He's rarely leaving the field. We're starting to see him get pushed further downfield now as well. So if you remove just those kind of near the line of scrimmage design plays and look at just what he's doing further down the field, it starts to paint a pretty good picture. I'm excited to play both of them. I think that when you look at Lamar as a player, he's been excellent against NFC opponents. We've got it there on screen. 15-1 against NFC teams, only one loss across his career, which, you know, some stats are noisy and some stats are weird, but that's a pretty dominant stat. And particularly when you consider Jared Goff's home road splits. In home games, he completes 68% of his passes. On the road, 63%. He scored 40 touchdowns at home over the last 2 years and only 12 on the road. That's a huge difference. Baltimore is going to be chilly compared to the dome in Detroit. We know Jared Goff with those little hands. So I think that the Ravens should be able to start laying down some home dominance after 3 games on the road.
Yeah, I'm so excited for Lamar Jackson this week. I feel like he has been playing and producing at a level that I don't think people are quite appreciating. I think if you go and plug on the film, if you watch him, he's been phenomenal. He's just been consistently let down by the other pieces on this offense. I think the scheme's there. I think he's there. And I think he's definitely taken a step forward as a passer. And hopefully, you know, you mentioned Bateman and Odell Beckham. If we can start to get some of those kind of tertiary pieces in this offense producing, I think Lamar's, he could be due for an absolute blowout week. It's also, hopefully it's this week, but
I'll just add, like, if you're looking for a sneaky DFS play, Nelson Agholor, he's played 60% of his plays out of the slot. The Giants allow the fifth most fantasy points to opposing slot receivers. So, you know, it won't feel particularly good, but if you're looking for a really different piece to put into a stack, you know, let's just call it one of those kind of sneaky possible plays of the week.
He's also, you know, high value touches. He's going to get deep shots. I don't know why, because he's not massive, but he gets targeted in and around the red zone. So those are the kind of touches we're always looking for. So couple of questions in the chat. As I said before, if you want your questions answered, Start, Sitch, Trade, Dynasty questions, get them in there. Richard, one of our members, he says, this is really gross, but are you picking up Tyra Taylor or Brian Hoyer to fill in the super flex spots, or just running with Elijah Moore or Keontae Ingram?
I think I'd go Tyra Taylor in that spot. I mean, we'll get to the Giants in a little bit, but I don't think that the Commanders particularly worry me. Brian Hoyer could get, you know, half a game or less, really. Like, Aiden O'Connell was pretty miserable, but it seems like there's more for the Raiders to learn from playing him than playing Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's Tyrod for me. I think the interesting thing will be that Washington defensive line is phenomenal. The Giants offensive line is in absolute pieces. Does that mean potentially we could see some sneaky rushing upside from Tyrod? I'd be intrigued there. And then we've got the pound also, you know, not so much a question, more of a comment, I guess, Tom. Have you got any thoughts on this? New Orleans running back usage, Jamal Williams back off IR or PUP, I can't remember which he was on. Be very interesting. Kamara's usage last few weeks has been phenomenal. How do you see that sort of three-headed monster rolling out tonight?
I think Jamal Williams is definitely going to have a notable role from the off. The team seemed to really like him. They paid him okay kind of money. And I think that Kendry Miller is the one who's going to suffer for it. And, you know, Kendry Miller's opportunity's been and gone, sadly. Like, I think now we kind of just have to hope for something very late in the season. But right now, I think it'll be Jamal Williams getting a decent role.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a two-headed backfield rather than the three, definitely. The next matchup, Pittsburgh at the Rams. It feels like this could have been slightly more interesting had the Pittsburgh offense been producing, but they've been fairly poor the past few weeks. Do you think it could be a breakout week for Pittsburgh?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, Matt Canada's still there. I think the problems on this offense are still there. Deontay Johnson potentially coming back could be huge. I think that's what they need. They need somebody with the kind of juice that he has. George Pickens is a fantastically interesting player, and he makes catches and he makes plays that very few players in the league can. And he's wide receiver 18, which is possibly a bit more than I expected from him at this point in the year. But you need somebody to be able to take that volume, and that's Deontay Johnson. We haven't seen Pat Freiermuth take any kind of role in the offense this year. He is the tight end 23 so far when he's been playing. That's in points per game. And I just really think that if they can get Pat Freiermuth going against a Rams side that is poor against the tight end position, they've allowed the fourth most fantasy points to the position, that would make a noticeable difference. The running backs, you know me, I was all over Jaylen Warren this offseason. I thought that he was the better running back than Najee Harris. But so far, neither of them have been particularly good. Warren's outscored Harris every single week, but it hasn't led to any particularly good fantasy days, apart from possibly the game against the Ravens. On the Rams side, though, I think you can attack this so easily. You know, Matthew Stafford is playing at a really good level. It hasn't shown up in fantasy yet because the games, you know, the touchdowns aren't coming. But without Kyron Williams, I do not think that any of these running backs between Zach Evans, Royce Freeman, is it, and, you know, Darrell Henderson.
Miles Gaskin, Darrell Henderson. It's the whole family got back together.
It'll be really interesting to see how that shakes out, because since Darrell Henderson was there, the Rams now have moved from away from the kind of like outside run zone scheme that they were using more to like a gap run scheme, which Kyron Williams suited really well. So yeah, that'll be one which, if you can afford to sit them on your roster through the bye weeks this week and not have to start them, maybe we get enough information where one of them is useful next week. But for now, I'll be double stacking Matthew Stafford with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. Nacua, yes, he dropped that touchdown last week, but he came very close to a good day. Cooper Kupp straight up to being the wide receiver 3 in points per game. And it just feels like that's the way I'd like to attack this game. And if you're looking for a run back, if you're talking about DFS stack, I'd put Pat Freiermuth on the other side of Kupp, Nacua, and Stafford.
Yeah, I'm not touching any of these Los Angeles running backs. I think that it's such a mess. I think we're probably going to see, you know, maybe one of them scores a touchdown, and that's the one that's fantasy relevant. I just don't particularly like any of them. I think that they could all basically work get a little bit of the workload and eat into each other. But I think Kyren Williams is probably going to be back in 2 or 3 weeks. There's a chance that he gets put on IR on Saturday and misses 4 games. But yeah, unless it's Kyren Williams, I want no part of this Rams backfield. Before we move on, we got a question from friend of the show, Matt Cullen, in the chat. He's saying, Tom, what's your favourite mid-range QB tight end stack for DFS this week if you can't afford Mahomes and Kelce? And before you answer that, I'm going to say, Matt, if you remember, if you were in the Discord, you'd already have the answer to this. You're missing out. You can jump in that Discord from as little as 99p a month.
Yeah, so the full DFS deep dive write-up did go live in the Discord just before we started recording. But in terms of mid-range, I think you can look at Lamar Jackson at 7,600 and Mark Andrews looks really underpriced at 5,700 this week. But also Jordan Love at 5,800 against the Broncos. The Broncos are just a terrible defense right now. And I think you can pair him with Luke Musgrave at sort of 3,300 and then just jam in a load of studs around them at that point.
Sounds beautiful. Sounds absolutely beautiful. Something that sounds less beautiful, the offense that's going to be on display in Cleveland at Indianapolis. Anthony Richardson now done for the season, getting shoulder surgery. We're going to see the joke that is Gardner Minshew, the myth. I'm not going to say the legend because he's not. Do we see Deshaun Watson? This could be an absolute tire fire of a matchup, Tom. Is this one that you think has got some sneaky upside or one that you're just avoiding this week?
It's tricky because Gardner Minshew's been thrown at a ridiculous rate. He's averaging like 49 passes per game or something in his full starts, and that is going to regress at some point. You know, they do have Jonathan Taylor and Zach Moss. I mean, Zach Moss is the RB4 in points per game, despite the fact that Jonathan Taylor's been back for 2 games now. We saw Jonathan Taylor get involved last week, have that really big run, or was it a reception? And I'm sure that he's going to slowly take over more. But yeah, this is a game which I'm not sure the Colts offensive line is going to stand up against Myles Garrett and the pressure that the Browns can bring. I think this Browns defense is very good. You know, they had a couple of hiccups, but they've been excellent. It's just generally a game that I'm not looking to have a lot of exposure to this weekend. I think you can start Michael Pittman. He's the wide receiver 20. He's averaging 10.0 targets per game, as you can see on screen there. I think that you can start Jerome Ford at a push, but he hasn't played a red zone snap since week 3. Kareem Hunt's getting more and more involved. If you need to get by on the bye weeks by starting Jerome Ford or Kareem Hunt, I don't mind that. The Colts have allowed 7 running back rushing touchdowns, which is the 3rd most overall. But generally speaking, I don't think David Njoku is somebody I want to start. He's tight end 21 in points per game. Mari Cooper is the wide receiver 28. And I'm not sure that Deshaun Watson coming back is necessarily going to see an uptick to his production.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question with the Browns, isn't it? Is Deshaun Watson going to play, or are we going to continue to have this kind of semi-phantom shoulder injury that he's going to continue to nurse and not play? Who knows? I talked about Jerome Ford in my Risers, Fallers, Buys, Trade, Sells episode earlier in the week. The fact that he's now splitting work with Kareem Hunt is incredibly alarming. I think if he was a 60, 70% snapshare guy, I'd be all in and saying, yeah, you can start him here. But because he's splitting that work, because he's not getting the red zone work, we know that Kareem Hunt's a good receiving back. I think he's basically in that back end RB2 territory, which is not where you want him. The one guy I'm really intrigued by, both from Dynasty, but also potentially in DFS this week, Josh Downs. We've seen that he's producing when Gardner Minshew's under center. I think his snap share, his target shares are all in a really good place. And I'm really intrigued. There's lots of talk about the Colts potentially trading for Jerry Jeudy this week. Are we going to see Josh Downs continue to carve out that decent role and continue to produce? Or could they make a big trade for someone like Jerry Jeudy and then Josh Downs sees a reduction in that snap share to a, you know, 60, 70% guy, which means he's probably going to be difficult to start week in, week out.
I think, like, the Jerry Jeudy trade would have been a lot more interesting to me if Anthony Richardson was still there. At this point, it kind of becomes a bit like, do you need to make that move now? Or do you just look to make a move which is going to be more impactful for a year's time? Because, yes, the Colts are 3-3. Yes, that division is a bit more up there than we might have thought it would be. But I'm not sure with Gardner Minshew they've got enough to make a deep playoff run. So I'd rather see them kind of concentrating on putting pieces in place for when Anthony Richardson is back next year.
I agree 100%. I don't get the move right now because I don't think Judy helps push you towards the playoffs. And I think that you can trade for Judy in the offseason, then the price is probably going to be, what, a day three pick? Because he's going to be on the last year of his contract. So I think if that's the player you've identified that you really want to partner with Anthony Richardson moving forward, I don't think now is potentially time to make the move. If you are here, we've talked about Tom's premium DFS content. It is phenomenal. We get time and time again, week in, week out, we're hearing our members saying, I won big this week. Tournament selection, Tom talks through his members only DFS video is phenomenal content, and you can access it all with the Golden Deck Chair membership. Hit that little join button just below. We're going to move on to the next matchup. Another disgusting over under at 38, Tom. Atlanta at Tampa Bay. Is this the island of, you know, high priced, sexy assets that are being let down by the quarterbacks?
Well, I mean, Baker Mayfield's been a bit of an enigma this season because, like, some weeks he comes out and he's gunslinging and he'll have, like, 9.3 yards per attempt. And then the next week it drops back down to, like, 5.2. So it seems really unpredictable what version of Baker Mayfield we're going to get week to week. What is certain, though, and we've been banging on about this for a few weeks now, is that the Atlanta defense is really good against wide receivers out wide. That means that Mike Evans, who's playing out there, is in for a really tough matchup. Atlanta allow the second fewest fantasy points to wide receivers lined up out wide, which makes me kind of want to pivot to Chris Godwin, who at 6,900 on DraftKings isn't particularly cheap. Neither of the wide receivers are particularly cheap this week. But as we've got on screen there, he's got a 30% slot rate currently this year, which is a five-year low. In the Tom Brady years, he was playing over 70% in that area of the field. And our good friend Dynasty Grill, who is a Bucks fan, sort of talked about how the Bucks seem to want to get Chris Godwin out of that area a bit more so he doesn't get as banged up, because that's an area where you get more contact. But for me, that just means the Bucks aren't using him well enough, particularly when you combine it with something you've been banging on about, Rich, the fact that they are not getting Chris Godwin involved in the screen game and the design plays. Year after year, he normally leads that area of, you know, that stat, or is very close to it. This year, it's like, what, 3 total so far? Something ridiculous like that?
Yeah, exactly that. He was averaging that almost a game last 2 years.
Exactly. It's dreadful. I mean, good for him if he stays healthier. Bad for us in the fantasy land. Rashad White continues to be pretty ineffective. His yards per carry is kind of finally up over 3. That'd be heady heights of 3.3. I think he can get there from receiving volume. We know that he's not coming off the field. I think anybody who was hoping that, was it Sean Tucker, would be pushing Rashad White. You know, we've seen that.
It's Keyshawn Vaughn's the one that they're turning to, isn't it?
Exactly. So I don't think Keyshawn Vaughn's got enough to really push Rashad White out of being a 70% sort of player. So I'd be fine with that. On the Falcons side, I mean, just Arthur Smith, man. Like, what are we doing? Tyler Allgeier, like, in weeks 3 to 4, he had 17 touches combined. And then in weeks 5 and 6, he had 30 touches combined. It seems like they played Tyler Allgeier more when the team's leading. I haven't looked into this, but I would be surprised if he's not being benched more when they need Bijan Robinson on the field. But when they're leading, they like to mix it up. They like to keep him fresh. And that's no good for us. Bijan has been excellent, like 6 top 24 games, which is tied with CMC. But we kind of need those blow-up games to really pay off that first-round ADP. Desmond Ridder, I mean, you know, there's just no point wasting our time on him. He's not an NFL quarterback. But there's occasions where he does enough to make Drake London relevant. You know, Drake London is 9th in targets per game over the last 5 games with 8.4. And as long as that volume sustains, and as long as, like, Van Jefferson doesn't end up becoming a thing, or Jonnu Smith doesn't become the focal point again, then I think we're kind of all right to start London and at a push start Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, I was so excited about this Falcons offense because I thought it was going to be, you know, to use a cross-sport reference, I thought this was going to be like the death lineup that you saw in Golden State where you've got five movable pieces that can all, you know, do a little bit. We're going to see Drake London in the slot. We're going to see Kyle Pitts out wide. We're going to see Bijan used as a wide receiver. We're going to, you know, be this really forward thinking. And yeah, we get a bit of that, but it's basically a traditional NFL offense that's doing some unique things, but it's not unique in terms of the positionless aspect, which was the one thing I was super excited about. So yeah, it just feels like something needs to change. We're not going to get Pitts, London, Bijan all performing in any given week unless something drastically changes. The player I'm fascinated by is Baker Mayfield because we saw through the first 4 weeks of the season, he was incredibly efficient, almost unsustainably so, in pressure situations, in those must-have-it third downs. And that massively regressed last week. And it's kind of, I'm now really intrigued to see what Baker is going to be there this week. Is it the Baker that was unsustainable through the first 4 weeks? And, you know, I was putting it up to good coaching and putting him in good situations and Baker had turned a corner. So was last week just a blip or is that him regressing to the norm? And this offense could begin to struggle if Baker's not going to be efficient as he was earlier in the year.
Yeah, definitely. And because of the nature of the downfield targets, it's like, you know, you really need that efficiency to be at a high level. And I just don't think we're going to see that consistently through the year.
Yeah, we got a question from Matt in the chat. Was offered a first and a second for him this week in Dynasty. Yeah, what are you doing talking about it? Let's hit that except. I mean, I've got his value as around sort of a mid second round pick right now. So I'd take a late first. If you're getting a first and a second, that's instant accept. Arizona at Seattle. We love these NFC West matchups. They are always slightly crazy. You know that something weird is going to happen in this game. Does that mean that this is one that we could potentially have some really interesting value? There's lots of players that I feel like could be sneaky plays this week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we saw the Seahawks come off their bye last week, and it was absolutely what we wanted to see in that the offensive line was getting healthy. We saw, I can't remember his name now, the left tackle who was back. The right tackle is supposed to be back within a week or two. And straight away, the Seahawks weren't leaning into 12 personnel as much. They weren't running as much of these two tight end sets. They used 11 personnel at the highest rate they've done so all season, like 71%, which then in turn brought Jackson Smith and Jigba's highest snap share rate. Pete Carroll talked today about how there's a big difference for JSN in how strong his wrist is after the wrist injury he had. You know, can't forget that he actually had his wrist in a cast to start the season. And now Pete Carroll feels better about asking Jackson Smith and Jigba to do more run blocking because he's stronger, you know, at the point of contact. So everything's trending up for Jackson Smith and Jigba. He's only 3,900. The Cardinals, their defense, they allow the third most fantasy points to opposing slot receivers. That's Jackson Smith and Jigba. You know, the rugs get pulled on us sometimes for these rookies, but everything's kind of trending that way. The Seahawks are also awful against slot receivers, but if you want to take a bet on one of the Cardinals receivers, you know, I'd rather go Marquise Brown or even Mike Wilson rather than going with Rondale Moore, whose average depth of target is like below 3 yards, and it's incredibly difficult to predict when he's going to have a relevant week. I don't think I want to play any of the running backs in Arizona. We saw last week, none of them were particularly relevant. But Kenneth Walker on the other side of the ball, RB8 so far. You talked on your Dynasty Risers and Fallers show about how much better he's been this year in terms of success rate. And he has looked good. Like we talked in the offseason, we thought that Zach Charbonnet would have a chance to steal a role in this offense. But if Kenneth Walker keeps playing like he is, it's going to be very difficult. I think, you know, this one is where you start all your Seahawks. You can probably start Marquise Brown. We saw Zach Ertz is getting less work than he was doing. Like, there was a bit of a flipping last week, and Trey McBride finally saw a bit more usage. So I'm not sure I'd want to start either of the Arizona tight ends unless you really had to. And then, yeah, it's all just pump plays on the Arizona side. You've got no idea what's going to come out of that offense every week. And really, we're just kind of treading water to see what they'll be like when Kyler Murray comes in there and is in the new offense for the first time in his NFL career.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You talk about Carolina and, you know, look, we could hopefully have Kyler Murray back soon. But I was fascinated by Marquise Brown's usage. You know, yeah, didn't have a great week. He was putting together a really nice stretch of consistency. But the underlying numbers are there. The target share's there. The air yards are fantastic. Like, I think there's a time and a place where he's going to produce again. And it's almost like because he's not had that massive blow-up week and because he had a bad week last week, everybody's kind of casting him aside and forgetting about him. I think this is going to be a game where Arizona is going to be moving the ball. We're going to see Arizona do that through the air because I think all of those running backs are pretty much useless without James Conner. I think it's a really interesting matchup to target someone like Marquise Brown. You know, if you're looking at whether that be a Seattle stack or maybe you want to get really, really kind of contrarian and tie Hollywood with Dobbs. But I think this is a matchup that could have that potential. The Seahawks receivers, you talked about JSN. It feels to me like the Lockett and DK usage has kind of got slightly confused. DK's at his career highest ADOT, close to 14 yards. He's getting decent usage, but he's seeing less usage in and around the red zone. Tyler Lockett's getting really good red zone usage and a lower ADOT, which, you know, you'd normally flip those. So I think that Geno Smith had a horrendous week last week in the red zone. Hopefully this Seattle offense is kind of, you know, going to reassess itself and we might see it start to move into what it traditionally has been in terms of let's get Tyler Lockett those one-on-one matchups where he can go deep. Let's use DK more in that intermediate part of the field rather than just the deep area of the field. And I think that could mesh it and we could see a really good production from both of them. Well, that's my hope this week.
And I think Hollywood's price point is just $5,300 each week. We are getting such a discount because of the floor on Arizona feels so incredibly low. But this is a player who is 14th among wide receiver in total targets per game. He's seeing like 8.8 per game. But he's also seen 13 deep targets, which is the fourth most among wide receivers. These are real high-value touches and high-value points in which he can come out with. And that's the kind of stuff which you want for fantasy. Like, he is only the wide receiver 22 in points per game. But, man, if you're starting him as your wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3, I think you'd be happy. And given the state of bye weeks this week, yeah, I can't find any way where I'd bench him.
Yeah, he's been a top 24 wide receiver 66% of games so far this year. That's a really solid, reliable guy. Yeah, he's not had that massive blow-up week. But the underlying numbers there, and I think it could well be coming sooner rather than later. The next matchup, again, yet another sub 40-point under. We touched on this a little bit at the beginning. This Giants offense feels like it's just another injury consistently. We've seen another offensive lineman torn, I think it was biceps, and is out for the season. Daniel Jones hasn't yet been cleared for contact, probably not going to play this week. Is it just a case of Saquon Barkley's the only player you can touch?
Yeah, and even then at 8,100, when I was writing up the DFS deep dive for our YouTube members, I couldn't bring myself to put Saquon in there. I think I don't mind playing him if you find yourself in a lineup where it works. But he wasn't a standout enough play that I felt like I had to write up about why he was a good play this week. Yes, we saw him kind of get back to like an 80% snap share last week. But if this offensive line is going to keep getting worse, how much is it really going to count for? I'm not sure we're going to see Daniel Jones this week. This neck injury still sounds problematic. Tyrod Taylor, I mean, he's got a little bit of juice, but it's not a lot. But if Daniel Jones is healthy, I would absolutely play him in DFS. I think you'll get a real ownership discount. Washington, they've allowed 5 top 12 quarterback performances so far. They've allowed the second most quarterback rushing yards so far. So there's plenty that would be good for Daniel Jones if he's able to play. The Commanders have been poor against wide receivers, allowing 16.5 yards per reception, which leads the league. but I'm not sure which of these Giants receivers I'd like to play. I think you could take a dart throw at Jalin Hyatt, because if he's going to see those targets, they will be downfield ones. Wandale might get there in terms of PPR volume, but I wouldn't want to start him in a managed league unless I had to. The Commander side feels much more cut and dry. Brian Robinson, he scores almost 20 points per game in wins, 10 in losses, because his usage is just so much more positive when the Giant, when the Commanders are in control of the game. Curtis Samuel, I really like him this week. I think the Giants, they blitz at one of the highest rates in the league because Wink Martindale only knows one way of playing defense and is convinced it's right. And players who play near the line of scrimmage can be used as blitz beaters, you know. This week, that's going to be Curtis Samuel at 4K and even Logan Thomas, who's at 3,300, I think. And, you know, they're both players who've seen steady usage over the last few weeks. Curtis Samuel, over the last 2 weeks, has had like 11 targets to Jahan Dotson's 5. And he's the wide receiver 12 across the last 3 weeks. Like, that shouldn't go unnoticed. And I think that, yeah, you can absolutely start him this week. I don't know whether... Are you brave enough to start Jahan Dotson this week, Rich?
I'll be honest, I'm having to start Jahan Dotson this week. I think with the state of injuries and with the state of bye weeks, I've got... Yeah, look, I'm got a lot of shares. I'm starting in my Scott Fishbowl League. I'm starting in a few other places. I don't want to be, but it comes a point when you're going 40, 50 wide receivers deep. I can't find anyone better, quite frankly. I'm really intrigued by Jalin Hyatt. I didn't particularly love him coming out, but someone's got to catch passes. It feels like this Giants wide receiver room has basically, they've realized they're going, Wandale Robinson's our kind of movable piece in the slot. Jalin Hyatt's our deep threat. Darius Slayton is our X. That's our wide receiver core moving forward. We saw Jalin Hyatt, he was 72% snap share last week. Okay, he only had a 12% target share, but 16 average depth of target, like as you said, those are the high value touches. If he's going to continue to increase that snap share, be above 70%, yeah, he's probably not a player that you're going to feel comfortable starting each and every week, but he's absolutely going to have some boom weeks. We know that Tyrod's got a decent deep ball. It only takes him connecting on one or two of those for Jalin Hyatt to pay off that 3K price. So yeah, I'm not sure I can start him in a managed league. I'm having to start Wandale Robinson in my home league this week because I've got, yeah, basically my entire team on bye, so it's horrendous. But yeah, it's good fun. I think there's better matchups than that you can be targeting right here, because it feels like, as I said earlier, this Washington front seven is going to eat. And I think that it's probably going to be a very, very low scoring game. I think that 39.5 over under could get even smaller by the time we get to kick off. If you are here, you're 38 minutes into the show. If you've made it this far and you've not hit that subscribe button, come on. We've given you 38 minutes of good content. We've got another half hour coming. Hit that subscribe and you will get even more videos. We've got Tom's DFS content coming. Got some fantasy game day content coming later in the week. And of course, next week, I'll have my Rises Fallers Dynasty show as well. The next matchup, again, doesn't feel like a great matchup. Buffalo at New England. Man, is this game just going to be so one-sided that it's kind of dead for fantasy by the end of the first quarter?
I was a little surprised to see that the Patriots are only -8.5 underdogs in this one. Like, it feels like you could have given the Bills 10 here. And the Patriots, they're just not getting it done in any facet of the game. You know, I think you look at their running game last week and both Ramondre and Zeke scored touchdowns. It's like, okay, great. Zeke had a long run called back of like 50 plus yards, which again, should have, would have, could have kind of stuff. But Hunter Henry hasn't been particularly relevant lately. You know, you look at the wide receivers. We were both impressed by Kendrick Bourne earlier on in the season, but it's kind of faded away and there's not an awful lot going on there. And yeah, I mean, we've talked about it before. We expected Bill O'Brien to be the grown-up in the room and to help this offense take a step forward. But it really just feels like Matt Patricia could be sitting at home just chuckling to himself that not a whole lot has really changed so far. Yes, the team looks slightly more organized, but they're not doing anything with it. And on the Buffalo side, Yeah, I think in theory you could look at it and go, okay, well, Bill Belichick knows how to take a team's top piece away. Stefon Diggs averages 22.2 points per game versus New England, so I don't think we're going to see that. Talked in the Discord about how Gabe Davis was a really nice play this week at 5,900 because New England really struggle against wide receiver twos. They rank 30th according to FTN's DVOA, and they allow the sixth most yardage to wide receiver twos in matchups. So I think you can start him. I think you can just go with the Bills' double stack of Allen, Davis, and Diggs quite easily. I don't have any confidence in either of the tight ends. James Cook seems to be slowly losing work over the last couple of weeks. Yes, Damian Harris probably misses out this week due to the concussion that he picked up last week. But I don't know, man. Like, it just doesn't feel like James Cook is really going to get those high-value touches. The one touchdown that he had, I believe it was kind of like a hurry-up offense, and Josh Allen rushed to the line of scrimmage and handed the ball straight to him, and it seemed to be more like a, here you go, you know, this is a well-done touchdown rather than you're a great guy to have around the red zone.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I was so high on James Cook coming into the season. I thought that there was a real opportunity for him to basically take over the backfield. And we've gone from him being a 60% snap share for the first three games. Last week, he was below 50%. Like, it's just, he's not getting consistent usage. He's not getting the high-value touches in the red zone. So he's just like a volume-based RB2 plodder that you kind of have to start if you've got him, but don't feel sexy about it. And definitely not someone I'm targeting DFS. I love your point about Gabe Davis this week. I think he's a really interesting play. The two tight ends, I am not touching at all. I've been so disappointed with Dalton Kincaid. It's not a guy, I've got zero dynasty shares of Dalton Kincaid because the price was just too rich. And he's underproducing. This is what we expect to see from rookie tight ends. I think that basically, Kincaid and Knox need one of them to disappear for the other one to become, you know, fantasy relevant. And I think as long as Dawson Knox is floating around, I think his contract, he's got at least another year. I think we might see Dalton Kincaid struggle to command enough of a snap share, enough of a target share to be consistency fantasy relevant on the New England side. And enough said, I want no part of anyone here, as much as that hurts me to say about Ramondre.
But it's also like the Bills' usage of Kincaid. Like, it's not like they're seeing him as somebody that they need to scheme up all these touches to. You know, over the last 3 weeks, he's had 2 targets, 5 targets, 2 targets. Like, they are not seeing it as a priority, and part of that must come back to where they see him as a development player. Perhaps by the time we get to the fantasy playoffs, this has changed. But yeah, completely agree. I don't think that he's playable right now. And in redraft, I'd be fine dropping him.
It's also, you've got to look at where he's being targeted. His average depth of target is 3.3. This is a guy that was a matchup nightmare, that was supposedly going to get deep down the seam and open up the offense from the slot. If you're getting targeted 3 yards downfield, you're not opening up anything. Like, I think that, yeah, they almost need to just decide and roll forward with Dawson Knox for the time being and let Kincaid have some time to develop. Another one of our members, Martin, in the chat, he's asking you, Tom, start, sit, Courtland Sutton, Rashid Shaheed. Who you got?
It's a tricky one, this one. I mean, Rashid Shaheed, last week he had that really big blow game, scored 18 PPR points, was the wide receiver 12. He's had 6 or more targets in 2 of the last 3 games. I think I'd just slightly lean there simply because Derek Carr is firing the ball downfield more often than any other quarterback in the league. Yes, he's been terribly inaccurate on those passes, but if I'm shooting for even mediocrity, I've got more faith in Shaheed this week than I do in Courtland Sutton.
Yeah, I think Sutton's been getting it done, but he's been getting it done largely off the back of an obscenely high touchdown rate, and I don't think that that's going to continue. So yeah, it's tight. I think I've got Sutton ranked just ahead, but they're very close. But I could easily see a world, as you said, where the upside play is definitely Shaheed moving forward. Right, next matchup. Who's starting at quarterback, Tom? We've got Las Vegas at Chicago. this is just horrendous. It's week 7 and we're seeing Tyson Bagent against, do we know if it's Brian Hoyer or Adrian O'Connell? Or has that been announced yet?
No, we haven't seemed to announce it yet. There was a bit of talk that Josh McDaniel's preference is to go with Brian Hoyer, but there were plenty of other people in the building who wanted to be Aidan O'Connell, who last time he played went 24 of 39, zero touchdowns, one interception, 238 yards, and took 7 sacks. That was the game that, was it Khalil Mack had like 6 sacks on his own?
Yeah.
So perhaps the Bears' defensive line isn't quite as threatening as that. But yeah, this one just feels really ugly. I'm not sure why the over-under is at 37.5. I wouldn't be surprised if that dropped to below 36. I think when you look at Tyler Bagent, he had 10 of 15 for 83 in his debut. Spread the ball around as well. He targeted 6 different players on those 15 targets. I think this one is a game that if you really want to, you can play Michael Mayer, who's only 2,700 on DraftKings. It's so rare we get a tight end below that 3K mark. He ran a route on 67% of dropbacks last week, which was up by 20% compared to his previous season high. And it's been positive to see that. But I just don't think with this kind of quarterback play, it's going to be particularly good. Roshan Johnson, I was hoping that he might clear concussion protocol, but he didn't practice again today. It's been almost 2 weeks since he got his concussion. And I think at a certain point, you really have to just think, it's probably not going to happen this week. So Donta Foreman at 4,800 is probably in play. Josh Jacobs, though, cash game kind of lock for me. I think if you're looking for a running back who's going to see high projectable volume and is going to be probably slight favorite, I think Raiders are still favorite in this game. And yeah, I think Jacobs could easily be fine. Devontae Adams, I'd start him if I had, you know, in redraft. Jacoby Myers is probably where I draw the line. And then, yeah, maybe Michael Mayer in DFS.
Yeah, I think the Devontae Adams, we've seen so many comments and media outlets talking about the fact that he's unhappy and could he get traded. I think it's a squeaky wheel game. I know I buy into that far more than you do, Tom, but I think it could be that he's talks himself into a whole boatload of targets this week.
It's just how much do they really count for this week? Like, are they going to be good targets or is, you know, yeah.
But if, so I mean, if you're getting 10 plus targets to targets, I this is not a guy that I'm targeting in DFS. I think when it's this lower over under, it's difficult to, you know, pay that sort of price for a receiver. I completely get that. But if you're in a managed league, I'd feel very comfortable about Devontae Adams as a, you know, a top 12 wide receiver, definitely.
So let me just take that point for a second, though, because if we're talking about, I'm talking about how I think Josh Jacobs is going to be an easy smash. Looking at around at some industry projections, Josh Jacobs is projected to be the most rostered player out of all positions this weekend at well over 25%. So if you want to gain leverage on lineups, you could pivot to Devontae Adams and play the squeaky wheel narrative. We know that, if anything, Devontae Adams' ceiling is higher than Josh Jacobs. We just kind of probably need a couple of touchdowns for him to get there. But I wouldn't rule that out, even with backup quarterback play. And if that hits, it'll be huge leverage against anybody rostering Josh Jacobs. So, yeah, I'd be more tempted to do it in tournaments than I would in cash games like multipliers and double-ups.
Interesting point. We'll dive across Green Bay at Denver. Man, Denver are just horrendous on defense. Interesting pieces on offense, but this feels like we could see a Jordan Love. We got all the hype at the beginning of the season, all the smoke blown up his backside. He's had 2 bad weeks and suddenly he's not good enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Are we going to see that flip 180 again and everyone's going to go back to falling in love with Jordan Love?
It's tricky because, like, Jordan Love, he's 36 in completion rate among 38 quarterbacks with 25 dropbacks or more, which, you know, if you just gave me that stat, I'd assume that he was playing horrendously. But the part of that that plays into it is that his average depth of target is 9.8 yards, which he's forcing the ball downfield. And for fantasy, that's great news. We haven't really seen him connect with Christian Watson yet. but I think Watson now should be kind of fully recovered from his hamstring injury. Romeo Dubs at 4,900 is also interesting. I mean, the Broncos defense, you click on virtually any stat that's defensive and filter by which team is the worst, and the Broncos seem to pop up towards the top of it. I think you can start Watson, you can start Dubs, and I think I'd even start Luke Musgrave as well. And if Aaron Jones plays, I'd play Aaron Jones because it'll be the first time the Packers have had good running back play since Aaron Jones sort of got injured in week one.
Yeah, I feel like this offense is so dependent on Aaron Jones. I think he's one of, you know, he's their best underneath receiving weapon. He's their best running back. He's their best pass protection. I think he's their veteran leader. Like, I think he is everything to this offense right now. And I feel so much better about all of the weapons in Green Bay if Aaron Jones is lined up behind Jordan Love. So, yeah, I'm really excited. And I think Aaron Jones is a must start if he is active. I think he's, for me, probably going to be like a top 10 option if he is active. We talked about this Denver receiving core. Jerry Jeudy's being talked about as being traded. There's some Courtland Sutton rumours. Do you think we're ever going to start to see Marvin Mims carve out more of a role, or is he a guy in redraft that you think is droppable now?
I think in redraft, you kind of got to hold a little bit longer just to see whether Jerry Jeudy or Courtland Sutton gets traded. But also, both of us, you know, we're expecting that Russell Wilson gets benched at some point within the next couple of weeks. Sooner or later, it gets to a point where the guarantees on his contract are, if he gets injured and he can't pass a physical in like March or so, then it's going to cost him a whole lot more. This Broncos team stinks to such a level that they should be looking to take that exit and pay the massive amounts of dead money. We've seen, not quite to that extent, but we've seen it with teams like the Colts paying, was it Carson Wentz, loads of dead money. We saw it with the Falcons playing Matt Ryan, loads of dead money. Teams will just eat it when they know they have to for the sake of team development. I don't mind playing Russell Wilson, though. I don't think he's been as problematic this year as he was last year. I don't think he's been particularly great. I think he's still been part of a problem with the offense. But yeah, I think Russell Wilson is kind of fine. Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton, Marvin Mims is a dart throw, kind of fine. But outside of that, I wouldn't start any of the running backs. Like we're seeing, you know, you can see on screen there, no Denver running back are in the top 30 in points per game. Jaleel McLaughlin seems to have the most juice of the three of them. Javonte Williams seems to have the most trust in terms of getting the most touches, but he's still not really giving us pre-injury performances like he did. And Samaje Perine just continues to be one of my biggest mistakes of the entire draft season.
Whilst we're talking about Russell Wilson, we've got a question in the chat from Josh. He says, Russ or Carr, for me, Russell Wilson's a top 12 option this week. Derek Carr's outside my top 18, so that's easily Russ for me.
Yeah, I think I'd agree there. I don't think Derek Carr ever really turns in good fantasy performances.
You heard it here first. We're going to move across to the late night games now. We've got, before we get there, if you've got any questions, if you're not watching live, if you're watching this on repeat, you can still get your questions in the chat below. Tom and I answer 100% of the questions we get. So whether that's start, sit, dynasty, trade questions, redraft questions, get them in that comment box below and we will answer 100% of those questions. Sunday night football, Miami at Philadelphia. This is where I hate Island games because I want this in the DFS slate for the main slate. Man, is it just start every piece of these offenses you can?
I mean, firstly, though, like, let's take a minute to appreciate a good Sunday night game because there's been some absolute horrors. No offense to your Jets.
I'm fast asleep. So I'm normally fast asleep and have to watch this at 5 o'clock in the morning when I wake up. So no, I don't appreciate a good Sunday night game.
Well, as am I. Like, I watch them Monday morning, but it annoys me absolutely massively when I get up at sort of after 6 hours sleep, put on the game, and it's an absolute stinker of two teams like the Bears and, you know, like, say, the Raiders or something like that. But no, this game should be everything we're hoping for. I think you start Raheem Mostert, even if Jeff Wilson's back, which it sounds is possible. I think I wouldn't start Jeff Wilson until I've seen a little bit more of how they're going to deploy him, because Raheem Mostert is playing incredibly. He's got 11 touchdowns, which is more than 12 teams have totaled through 6 weeks. I think the big question mark really is whether Devonta Smith gets going. Over the last 4 weeks, you can see on screen there, AJ Brown, 99 points. Devonta Smith, 32 points. It just hasn't been the same as last year. And part of that is this Eagles offense isn't as good as they were last year. They're seventh in offensive DVOA. But it's not been as simple as them needing to be pushed into fourth quarters. We're seeing that the change in offensive coordinator, I don't think we're getting as many screens to Dallas Goedert. I don't think that the play calling has been as good as it has been in previous years. And Jalen Hurts has been fine, but he's still not really hit the kind of highs that he was hitting last year. I think through this year, he's had two games over 25 PPR points. Last year, he had 8 games, so it was like almost 50% of his games were over that mark. So it's not a huge difference what he's delivering, but it's enough to be a little bit of a sting, and I'd really just like to see both teams go absolutely nuclear. The Dolphins, they haven't really played anyone good apart from the Bills, and they lost by, what was it, like 20, 28 points or something that day. So seeing how they deal with their Eagles defense, it rates 13th in defensive DVOA, that'll be very interesting. I've been saying that I think Miami's defense is fraudulent for a while. They rank 27th on defense. So if I had to take a bet on it, I'm going with the Eagles to beat the Dolphins simply because that's the bigger mismatch out of the two.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I kind of agree. I think that the Dolphins are phenomenal to watch and fantastic on offense. But I think that as we start to see that schedule get tougher, and it does get significantly tougher over the next few weeks, I think we're going to see them struggle a little bit. That being said, from fantasy purposes, I think you've still got to start every option in this. I think Raheem Mostert is a top 5 running back. Tyreek Hill's a top 3 wide receiver. Jalen Waddle's a tough one. I struggle ranking him every single week. But the concern for me with the Philly side, you probably didn't touch on it, is Devonta Smith. He's had this niggle. He was limited in practice again today. I know he's come out and said he's definitely playing Sunday, but I just worry that when he's not 100%, and that could be why he's not been producing, I just think that maybe he's a guy that if you can get an alternative, if you can pivot away from him, I think he's not a top 24 wide receiver for me this week.
No, I'd agree with that. I think, you know, I just don't think that Miami has the pieces on defense to really contain both AJ Brown and Devonta Smith if he's healthy, and Dallas Goedert, as well as they also rank 31st against running backs receiving the ball. So it could be a week where if the Eagles are going to turn more stuff over to DeAndre Swift, it could be productive for him. But it's also noteworthy that Kenneth Gainwell's been playing slightly more over the last couple of weeks. But not, I wouldn't worry about any of this. I mean, I think you can say you just start everybody who you've got any confidence in, and there's no reason why we try to talk you out of doing so.
Absolutely. Before we move on, quick trade conversation. Some bro wants me to do Kamara and Thielen for Mostert. And I guess that's Sky Moore in the 32-man league. Yeah. He has Kamara and Thielen. What do you think?
I think I'd be fine holding. I think Mostert is probably more valuable than Kamara at the minute. But Thielen to Sky Moore, you're giving up usable weeks for absolutely nothing. I traded Adam Thielen yesterday for a second round pick. And I think that's, you know, that's where I kind of set the bar for Thielen at the minute.
Yeah, I think that to me, it's a 2-for-1 trade because I'm counting Sky Moore as nothing. And I don't think as good as Mostert is, with the question marks of a chain coming back in potentially 3-4 weeks, with Jeff Wilson coming back off IR this week, I think there's enough question marks there that's not enough for me to give that up. So yeah, I'd stick with Kamara and Phelan. Friend of the show, Matt, in the chat saying, Jalen Waddle or Brandon Ayuk, where are you going here?
I think it has to be Brandon Ayuk. I'd call Brandon Ayuk a top 7 wide receiver this week. We were joking in the Discord that everything stats-wise sets up for Brandon Ayuk to have a massive week this week, particularly if Deebo Samuel's still limited, if CMC is limited in any way. it just absolutely feeds into there. And yeah, I'd start Ayuk over Waddle quite comfortably.
Yeah, no, I agree. Is it too early for me to take my victory lap on Brandon Ayuk over Deebo Samuel, or do we need to wait a few more weeks for that?
I can't believe you're victory lapping a player being injured. What better than you, Matt Richard?
It's not injured. It's not injured. He's been outproducing him. Whilst we're talking about San Francisco, they are the Monday Night Football matchup at Minnesota. What can I say? It's a case of who is healthy for San Francisco, isn't it? Is it a case, do we think we expect to see CMC, Kittle, Deebo? Is it start everyone if they're active?
Start everyone if they're active, definitely. CMC had limited participation today. Apparently, it's trending towards being okay for him, which maybe they just decide perhaps we don't need to play him quite as heavily as we normally do. I don't think that the Vikings, without Justin Jefferson, are capable of really pushing the Niners. Yes, it being in Minnesota probably helps them slightly, but we both love Jordan Addison. I think what we're seeing from him, he is going to get it right. He played well last week. TJ Hockenson seems to be the safety blanket. He's the player getting all those kind of dump-offs near the line of scrimmage. KJ Osborne, I'd start in an absolute pinch. There's a lot of buys this week. I think that he's going to be startable plenty of weeks from now. It's just a real shame that Justin Jefferson isn't there for this one, because then at least you'd have some faith that the Vikings offensively could have gone toe-to-toe with them. The Vikings have been better on defense than I think a lot of us expected. They rate 15th in DVOA, which is middle of the table. But I was expecting them to be bottom third, really. Alexander Mattison, he's seen his role get bigger last week because the Vikings are realizing that Cam Akers isn't a good running back. I'm not sure why we didn't know that already. George Kittle, he had three or fewer targets in three of six games this year. Last year, he had three or fewer targets in three of 18 games last year. It just seems like it's not there really at the minute for George Kittle. He's always going to have those weeks where he's capable of a free touchdown game that he put up a couple of weeks ago. And in redraft, I'd struggle to bench him. But in DFS, I think if I was building a showdown captain lineup, it's Ayuk going straight into the captain slot for me, or CMC, and then figure the rest out.
Yeah, the one player I wanted, you touched on him very briefly there, Tom. I feel like we need to give him a little bit more hype. Jordan Addison, I feel like I'm one of the biggest Jordan Addison fans, but I did not expect him to be as good as the number one as he showed last week. And it didn't show up in the stat line. He did okay. He didn't do phenomenally. But the way that he was able to deal with being the focus of defensive attention, the way he was able to deal with press man coverage, he was beating double teams. I saw more from Jordan Addison last week than I did in the first 5 weeks of the season. It's made me even more excited and even more invested in him long term. I think if you can go and buy him in Dynasty, the price is only going up. I think that he's now in that Devonta Smith, T. Higgins, Jalen Waddle type of being a superstar number two that's probably somewhere in that sort of 8 to 15 Dynasty wide receivers. And I think that even when Justin Jefferson comes back, he's going to be a fantasy superstar. And I'm so excited about what he's going to be, because I've got an awful lot of shares sat on my roster somewhere. While we're here, though, we've got plenty of more comments in the chat, Tom. Before we dive into a couple of those, if you are asking questions, if you are watching live and you've not hit the thumbs up, do it now. It helps us out massively and it takes you less than a second. So, couple of questions. Agent ZZZZZZZZZ says, hey, guys, would you play Michael Thomas or Drake London? And I think this makes me feel a little bit sick that we're asking that question.
I think for me, it's going to be Drake London. We talked earlier in the Falcons preview about how Drake London is ninth in most wide receiver targets over the last five games, averaging 8.4. Whereas Michael Thomas, he's been okay. You know, he's seen steady volume, like never less than six targets per game, seeing deep targets because Derek Carr is wanting to chuck it downfield. But the problem for Michael Thomas is that he's just not delivering because he's not getting any touchdowns and the Saints aren't scoring lots of touchdowns. Michael Thomas is yet to break you know, 13 points in PPR. The last 3 weeks, he's had 9.3 points, 10.5 points, 9.5 points. That isn't going to change unless he gets a touchdown, and I'm just not sure he has the juice to break away and score those long touchdowns. And it seems like the Saints have other ideas in the red zone.
Yeah, I think the thing is with Michael Thomas is that, to me, he's the same player he's always been. The difference is that he's going from getting, you know, 14, 15 targets a game to 7 now. And he's not getting that red zone usage. And it's like, yeah, he's a solid, reliable, safe, like wide receiver 3-4. So if you are looking at your matchup and you need 10 points, I'd probably go with Michael Thomas because you can almost pencil that in. But if you're looking for upside, if you're looking for more than 10 points, you've got to go Drake London here because Michael Thomas just has no upside whatsoever. Triple Hunts is asking Gibbs or Flowers at flex full PPR, Tom?
I'm going with Zay Flowers. I wrote him up in my Fantasy Pros column this week as one of the safest starts this week. He's rookie wide receiver 2. His 40 targets trail only Puka Nacua's 63. His receiving yards is also second highest among all rookies. His 93.8 route participation is third among all wide receivers, not just rookies. It feels like he's built chemistry with Lamar quickly. They're using him on design plays. They're using him on further downfield plays. Scored his first touchdown last week. I think what the Lions do defensively is fairly good. But the last 6 touchdowns they've allowed, 5 of them have been passing touchdowns. And I think that's an area which the Ravens are going to absolutely attack them. I think with Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen playing so well, the Ravens just aren't a team you really think are going to give up big plays on the ground. And I'm not sure that I have enough faith in Jahmyr Gibbs yet.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's difficult to trust Jahmyr Gibbs right now. And I think you can trust Zay Flowers. And yeah, who knows what's going to happen with that Detroit backfield. But until I see consistent usage, it's not even production from Jahmyr Gibbs, I'd struggle to start him over a guy that's producing like Zay Flowers is right now. That's it. That's the slate. Hopefully, it's going to be a more enjoyable week than it looks on paper. But if you are here, get those questions in the comments below. Hit that like, hit that subscribe button. Best of luck this week, guys. It is a horror slate. So hopefully we're going to have some surprises and put in some massive fancy weeks. We will be back later in the week. We've got some DFS content. I will be doing a fancy game day video. And of course, next week, we'll be back again. We'll have the Dynasty show, but make sure you're hitting that subscribe.